for those of you that attend the entire session, you qualify for 2.5 CM credits, which is crop management. Okay, so, and the sign-up sheet is right up here. And our next speaker is Dr. John Holman from Kansas State.
Thank you for the opportunity today. I'm going to be presenting some data from some long-term cover crop work we've been doing. This is actually, the 2015 will be the ninth year into this, so it's actually following 8 years of having cover crops in the rotation. And this work was done at Garden City, so Alan showed the map there of Kansas. I'm just slightly east of Alan, but in that drier part of Kansas, southwest Kansas. The first phase of the study was from 2007 through 2012, and the crop rotation used then was wheat fallow. It was a no-till cropping system, and the cover crops were grown either in the spring or the fall of the fallow year. Then in 2012, we changed that to a wheat grain sorghum fallow rotation, again keeping it as no-till, and the cover crops are grown in the spring of the fallow year. And 2017 will mark 10 years of having grown cover crops for 10 years in the rotation. There's been a couple papers published at the five-year mark looking at soil properties, and now and the plan is at in 2017 to do an in-depth look at if there's been any long-term changes in soil property. But today I'll be really focused on looking at crop yields and some soil water data over this time period. So first, a little terminology. Cover crop, the use of cover crops, they, by my definition, I think in the old definition, was they provide some kind of benefit to the agroecosystem, whether that be reduced soil erosion for more ground cover, trying to improve soil quality, and those kinds of things. But and then a forage crop is grown for feed that can either be hayed or grazed out of that system. But many producers are stating that we are, you'll hear statements like, I'm haying or grazing my cover crop. So in this study, especially in the first phase, we looked at both cover and hay. Due to the economics, hay is a lot more profitable, and so we've put more focus on that in the second phase. The cover crops in that first study, and were the winter treatments were terminated about the middle of May, which is when the winter triticale initiates heading, and the spring crop was terminated about June 1, again when spring triticale kind of initiates heading about that time period. So the initiation of heading is kind of an optimum time from both forage quality and total biomass production. The plots were, these plots were split in half. These are, these, each of these plots are 30 foot wide by 120 foot long, and all crop phases present every year. So the winter peas here was shown with the one half of the plot burned down right before swathing. The other half in the picture on the right shows lentil and spring triticale with the right half that was hayed, and the left half is a standing cover right before wheat planting in the fall. Over this Garden City receives about 18 inches of annual precip. For the first phase of this study, those years, the average precip was about 16 inches, and we had some, towards the end of that study, we had some pretty rough years. We averaged about 88% precip, and then in the second phase of that study, we've started to get a little more rain come back to our area. The treatments used in the first phase of that study are shown here. We looked at yellow sweet clover initially, and we found very quickly that treatment did not work well for us. We dropped it and put winter lentil in its place. But we looked at all these legumes by themselves and in combination with winter triticale. So we looked also at hairy vetch, winter lentil, winter pea, then winter triticale by itself, and then winter grain pea. For the spring crops, we looked at spring lentil. Again, all these legumes by themselves, and then in combination with spring triticale. We had spring pea, spring triticale by itself, a spring grain pea. And then kind of our two control treatments was either a was chem fallow, So wheat fallow or continuous winter wheat. Averaged over these years, looking at soil, available soil water in the top 6 foot profile, cover had a little more soil water than the hay treatments did, about just shy of 1 inch in the total profile, but we never did see that affect the following wheat crop. We also looked at the available soil water in the top 3 inches, because getting a wheat crop established in our area can be a real challenge. And so our thinking was, maybe by growing some more residue, we can improve soil water in the surface and try to improve wheat stand establishment. And we did see that cover had slightly more soil water, but again, that never did affect the ultimate crop yield. So this is kind of the, I'm going to break this out, and we kind of started out with some good years, and then it got dry. 2008 was a hail year, so I'm not showing 2008, but 2008 would be very similar as 2009 and 2010. On the far right is fallow. That first year we had 80 bushel fallow crop, and several of those treatments were kind of similar as the fallow yield. Continuous winter wheat was 60 bushel. In 2010, we had a 70 bushel fallow crop. Again, a lot of these treatments were not much different than fallow, and continuous winter wheat was 40 bushel. But as we went on, it got drier. 2011, we had 23 bushel fallow crop. About the only a couple treatments are then yielding comparable to fallow, only spring lentil and spring treated kale. And then 2012, we kept the crop intensity up, and as the drought continued, then the situation just got worse. We had actually better wheat crop in fallow in 2012, but all the cover crop treatments, the yields were reduced much more. We had 30 bushel fallow yield, but the yield of all the other crops was reduced 50% or more as compared to fallow. An average across all of these years, we had about a 60 bushel wheat fallow crop. The only treatment to yield comparable to fallow is the lentil. Lentil does not grow very much biomass or use very much water. Everything else resulted in lower yields. Continuous winter wheat yield was about half, as Alan showed from data from that location. And then also the grain pea, which is allowed to grow longer if it makes a crop, was also pretty substantially reduced. And again, we did not see any difference whether it was managed as a cover crop or a hay crop. So this is looking at the inches of available water at the planting time plus growing season precipitation for wheat yield across all the years. And here we actually have a pretty high R square, but as Alan showed, that data just looked at planting, soil water planting. This is looking at soil water planting plus the in-season precipitation, so that's why the higher R-squared. 4.7 bushels per acre inch, and then some of the work that David has published at Akron, exact same number. So now moving into the second phase of this study, we were getting questions on how about spring oat versus treated kale. Flex fallow is a concept that in the spring of the year, when we have in the fallow year, when we have a lot of moisture to grow something, try to take advantage of that soil water and intensify the rotation, and then dry years be more conservative and not plant something. So how we make that flex fallow decision is using a method a farmer could easily implement using a Paul Brown probe, and if the probe goes in 18 inches or more, that's the first step. And then also we look at the weather outlook for the coming season, whether the National Weather Service is calling for it to be, or the Climate Prediction Center is calling it for it to be above or below average precip. If they're calling it for it to be neutral or above, and we have that much soil water, then we plant something. Otherwise, we leave it fallow. And then we were also getting quite a bit of questions on cocktails. So our cocktail mix we implemented was a combination of oat, treated kale, pea, buckwheat, forage brassica, and a forage radish. We had the fallow, The flex fallow, we grow spring oat in those years that it's that those conditions are met. It was met in 2013, but just about as soon as we planted a new, the Climate Prediction Center put out a new forecast and they called it for it to be turned dry. And in 2014 and 15, it's been too dry to so plants with been fallow. Then we had oat, an oat grain, a pea grain, combination of pea oat, combination of pea triticale, and then just triticale by itself. So looking at these yield results, 2013, we had 20 bushel fallow crop. Everything was reduced up to 70% with the cover crop in the place. 2014 was the year that we had previously decided to grow a flex crop, the flex oat, and that's shown there at 2 bushel per acre and everything else. 2014 was a very, very tough year, as you can see. And then this 2015, this the harvest done this year. This is the this would make, I say, the ninth year of growing cover crop after 8 years of having cover crops in the rotation. And here we're seeing the flex fallow, which is fallow and fallow at 16 to 15 bushel per acre. And then some of these treatments are now are yielding comparable to fallow. So I don't know if we're starting to see something or if it's just kind of a fluke year. 2015, it was dry very early on, and then we received some good moisture later in the season that helped that crop out. This is looking at the grain sorghum yield results. So we just this is just harvested this last week, so fresh off the combine data. We had an interesting. We're seeing a negative impact of growing something in place of fallow 2 years later. So we've analyzed the soil water from wheat harvest last year, and we didn't see very much difference in soil water. But we haven't had a chance to process all the samples from this growing season yet. So it looks like maybe like as Alan alluded to is. Maybe we're seeing something here, differences and possibly in water use efficiency during the growing season. But there's a pretty nice correlation here. The blue bars was the wheat yield from the previous year. And so we can see, with the exception of pea grain, pretty nice correlation where the better the wheat yield was the previous year, the better the sorghum crop was the next year. So this effect on grain sorghum is 2 years after the cover crop was grown. Another point I want to make out. This was 2014. The picture there on the left is spring pea and triticale cover crop residue and this was cover crop. So this was a total amount of biomass grown there, and you can see that situation versus the fallow on the right. The fallow, we did not ruin all the grain sorghum stubble, and so we've got a lot better residue in the fallow than trying to improve fallow. So you can actually hurt your situation in a dry year with fallow. And then these are just some pictures from the wheat crop this year. And if I got maybe one time for one question? One question. Yeah. That's a good question. Hairy vetch was about half the time it survived the winter and half the time it didn't. Okay. So about half the time that's almost a fallow. And there is a pretty nice correlation between the amount of biomass grown, the amount of soil water consumed, and the following wheat crop yield. Yeah.